minutes after the second and final hour today. Welcome back to the program. There's a lot to get to anymore. It's crazy. Only 1 hour in, and we touched the Broncos a bit. We'll get into more of that. Nuggets had a preseason game over the weekend. We'll get to that. More preview. UNC, CU tonight. I know CSU's in action. It's all over the place. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, our Rams insider. Kevin, my man, Friday night was nuts. I was actually in a meeting. I get out. I see your Twitter. I see everything blowing up on my phone about the CSU-Utah State football game being canceled. I kind of put my phone away in this day and age going, okay, well, that's COVID. I'll get to that in a moment. And then once I got home, I'm looking at the story going, whoa, there's a lot more to this.
Yeah, definitely. Mike Brohard at CSU said, I didn't have this one on my 2020 bingo card. I think that summarizes it pretty well. I mean, hearing the game was canceled late, obviously we've kind of learned, I don't think you quite get used to it, but we've learned that that's certainly a possibility. But then, like you say, when you realize it wasn't COVID and just a completely other different issue that obviously has been festering at Utah State, which we obviously didn't know, you know, not following that program super closely, definitely a big surprise and just another crazy, crazy happening in this wild year.
All right, so Kevin, take us through this, what you know anyway. I've tried to summarize it as best possible. I've got the article pulled up from the Coloradoan. Basically, the players opted out of the game, boycotted the game, whatever you want to call it. Brett McMurphy of Stadium reported on this. Help me clear this up. There was a Zoom meeting, correct, with Utah State President, Utah State Athletic Director, and student-athletes were involved in this Zoom meeting?
Yeah, so it really starts back in early November when they fired their coach this was only a second year he coming back to the program, Anderson, Gary Anderson, that is. We have to get Anderson straight because they just hired a different one. So they fired him. So through the process of, you know, coaching search, they met with, you know, the president and some other administrators, I don't know who all, but met with the team on a Zoom call, you know, basically, I guess, to get some feedback on, you know, what they might be looking for during the search, that type of thing. And obviously, none of us were in that meeting, so we don't know exactly what was said, but according to what the Utah State players say, that during that meeting, the president said some things about the background and heritage and political or religious beliefs, I should say, of the interim coach. And basically the players say they conducted a players only survey kind of asking if you had any issues, and they say three quarters of the team were concerned with what she said, what the president said. And then that led to a player only meeting that I believe was Friday kind of morning. And at that meeting, the players say they unanimously voted to opt out of the game as a statement, you know, kind of in support of the interim coach and against what the president said. And it also dates back. They also say that there had been another, you know, some other racial insensitivity issues before. So kind of big statement, you know, to the president that they weren't okay with how some things were operating. And so they kind of took it upon themselves to use the game as, or, you know, their collective grouping as a tool to come together and try and get some change, I suppose.
Very interesting, Kevin, when you look at this whole thing, try to unpack it. And I guess initially, listen, we don't know what was said, and I'm guessing it had to be pretty bad. In fact, I would almost bet on it. If you have enough players, and I even read, I think you guys had it too, or it's elsewhere, that they were interviewed individually too. I think you mentioned that. They were interviewed individually, and so it's not like they came together and created this conspiracy. These are football players. They want to play football. I guess right off the bat, I had issues with it because I'm thinking, wow, CSU goes through all the work, and I'm thinking of CSU in this case. You go through all the work every single week trying to get games in, and COVID cancels games just like that. Was this the right move? Could you have not played one more game in solidarity of that interim coach and say, we're going to win it for you, and then afterward, who knows? And again, I'm not there. I wasn't a player. I didn't listen to this story. I don't know what was said. Sounds like it's a train wreck over there, but the word boycott, the word not going to play, you know, the phrase not going to play a game, it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes.
Yeah, and I think a couple things can be true here. One, like you mentioned, first, certainly it sucks for CSU. It's, you know, if you want to use the not fair card, that's, you know, obviously a nebulous term, but certainly a huge bummer for CSU that obviously did nothing wrong to lose a game here. So that's a huge bummer. But my counter argument is, if you want to make a statement and make sure that attention is brought on an issue that it certainly appears a lot of the team feels is a big issue, this did it. If you go and play the game and, you know, whatever, wear warm-up shirts that say something, I don't think as many people are talking about it. It's not as big a deal. So they obviously felt the need to make a big statement that would garner attention. This did it. So I think both things can be true, that Utah State felt this was the best way to make their statement, and that it also really sucks for CSU. Those aren't mutually exclusive things. You know, the idea that CSU is being punished by Utah State, Utah State didn't do this to CSU. CSU kind of ended up collateral damage. You know, so it's certainly not like a malicious intent on the side of Utah State towards CSU, but certainly if you're a CSU player that was all geared up for this game, I certainly feel very, very bad for you, especially with how the whole season has gone, but in this case it's a huge bummer. So I think this is one of those, you know, everyone wants real black and white, but there just isn't that in most things, and certainly this one as well. A lot of different kind of feelings that can be valid here.
Kevin, you've covered Colorado State for a while. You've covered college football for a while. Is it common practice to have some kind of a meeting with your college players, with your athletes that are playing for you, and talk to them about, hey, what they think the right direction would be? What, you know, let's all have a group discussion about what the right direction would be for our next head coach.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the school and the leadership and all that. I've kind of seen different ways. I've seen where, coaching search happens and the only information the players find out is from, you know, reporters like us, what we find out. And then I've had others where at least, leaders of the team are brought in. And generally it's this type of thing. It's, what kind of qualities are you looking for in your coach? It's not, hey, give us your short list and we'll go talk to them. That, no leadership is going to involve players that much for a variety of reasons. But I think it is somewhat common for at bare minimum leadership of a team to be included in some conversations about what they're looking for in coach from, qualities standpoint, personality traits, that type of thing. This year being the year of Zoom, I didn't find it shocking that they had a meeting where they discussed some things. It's, like I say, it changes a little bit, but it's not incredibly uncommon for players to at least have a small part of conversation with this.
I guess I find it hard to believe, and again, it's true. I'm not saying I don't believe it. It's just crazy to me, I should say, that in this day and age, you're going to have a Zoom meeting, which I don't know when those things record. I don't know when those things shut off. I mean, we've seen horror stories of people thinking there's Zooms are shut off and then they still do something, right? Whatever was said, and clearly it was bad, it's crazy to me that something like that was said in a Zoom type meeting in that setting with players involved, with anyone involved. It's absolutely nuts. So listen, I'm not saying that Utah State, the situation there, isn't an absolute train wreck. I guess my brain just starts racing as to, are we going to get to that point where we drop a game on a Friday night on game eve because of a certain situation? But as you said, it's been bad all season. I guess I'm torn on this one as well. You're right, it's not necessarily black and white.
Yeah, it is tough. And I don't know if we're going to get in the forfeit discussion here, but I had some people say, well, they need to be punished because if they're not, there will be precedent for teams to just cancel games all over. And I guess my answer is, I don't think there are a lot of teams out here just sitting trying to find a way to cancel a game, but they want someone else to do it first so they can see what the precedent is. As you said at the start, teams want to play generally. It takes some extreme circumstances to lead to something like this. I mean, I don't recall anything like this in college sports ever, really. I can't think of any. So I don't think there's, you know, teams just lined up hoping to cancel a game, and so I don't think this is a, you know, a thing that's going to become frequent. It's very unique circumstances, and you know, there are a lot of issues at Utah State. I mean, earlier in the year, the coach who ended up getting fired basically said he wouldn't allow players to opt out because of COVID concerns, saying, you know, if you're opt out, then you're not with us. Well, you know, the NCAA ruled that that's not even allowed. They have to be allowed to opt out. So, you know, there have been a lot of issues simmering at Utah State, and obviously I don't know the whole situation, but when something like this gets that big, you would have to imagine there's probably even more out there that we don't necessarily know about right now, because you don't go from 0 to 100, to use that phrase. There's got to be some buildup that has led to a lot of angst and worry in that department.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know that I've seen a lot of it with the game side on the college, but I made reference to the Oklahoma State football side of things with Coach Gundy. You know, he wore the news T-shirt. You know, it's a very controversial news group or whatever. You know, some players said that they weren't going to go play, and my mind started going to, okay, is that going to be something where if I disagree with you politically? Now, again, if you're racist and you're a bad person, I think we all agree. No, hopefully on most aisles, it's bad stuff. But I want to be careful, too. I agree with you that it's going to take a hell of a lot for these players, because they want to play. They want to grow their stock. If they're going to the NFL, they have to have games under their belt. So it should take a lot. But I do wonder if there are going to be those players, perhaps, if they, you know, have it out with a certain coach, if they just don't like the way things are going. Could there be a player, two, three? It spirals into something. But I agree with you. It's going to have to take a mountain to truly force teams to flat out all collectively agree, and they did. Individually interviewed, collectively agreed that it was bad news.
Yeah, and I think that's where kind of the whole group aspect comes in. Because, yeah, any locker room has, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5 players that one reason or another really don't like the coach and maybe kind of just want to walk out. And some of them do that. I mean, that's sometimes just what transfers are. They're sick of the coach, so they leave. So I think, you know, you'll still see that, but I also don't think there will be enough power from a small group to, you know, shut down a game or anything like that. But I also think you're seeing players are realizing they have a lot more power than the NCAA would like them to believe. And so that when there are big, big systematic issues, I think they've realized, yeah, they don't have an official union, but a team as a group can kind of unionize themselves, so to speak, that when there are really big systematic issues, they can do something to cause change. So yeah, I mean, it's power dynamics are certainly shifting in college sports right now, but to be frank, that's probably not a horrible thing in the big picture, because you know, the rich people in suits have kind of had probably a lot too much power for too long. So it's going to be fascinating to see kind of bigger picture of how this all unfolds. Obviously, what happened at Utah State doesn't necessarily relate to, you know, something going on at Georgia or whatever, but the general idea of collectively, you know, fighting systems of that aren't working for them is going to be a interesting one to watch unfold.
Kevin, switch gears with you for a moment. Colorado State basketball. That was another weird thing, right? Last week was nuts, man. Colorado State gets their game on Saturday. I hope, Kevin, for all of us, for us media too, that there's some kind of rivalry building between you and CCSU. It can only be good for me. I feel like I'm in the middle of it. But that was weird. You see certainly why CSU wanted to have a game like CSU Pueblo. Makes perfect sense to me. They were rusty. The first half, they were actually down. So it all makes sense to me. My big thing, Kevin, was the tweet itself from CSU men's basketball that just kind of glossed over the fact that it did have a UNC game and didn't really mention, oh, we're rescheduling that. It just kind of went out there and said it. So I think that was the major issue with UNC.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously, I don't know the inner workings of all the various contracts and things like that that may play a part in how things are set out there. But yeah, it was kind of weird to be like, hey, we're playing CSU Pueblo Saturday and also UNC much later. But from a pure, I guess basketball standpoint, it did make sense. I totally get UNC being bummed. You know, I'm sure they thought if they played CSU, that'd be a really good chance to get the Rams, and they probably would have, to be frank. CSU was not only rusty, but out of game shape, as you'll be when you have 3 weeks without workouts. It would have been fun, certainly from the UNC side. I can see why they were hoping to play that, but I think the most important, it was very weird how it all went down, but I'm very glad they're playing this season. Knock on wood, of course, because who knows, but that'll be a lot of fun when they finally do. Weird way how it got to it, but I guess we should be used to weird things happening now. And for CSU, they did what they needed to against Pueblo, kind of knocked some of the rust off, get some game legs under them a little bit, and they got the win. They played tonight against Northern Arizona, so I would expect a little sharper performance. Tonight's going to be a fun night. Obviously, that's kind of the undercard to the UNC-CU game. So, as we've talked about a lot of times, there's some potential for a really exciting basketball season here.
No, I think you and I have said it. Yeah, all three teams we talk about specifically here on this show, all are going to be pretty good this year, and whenever they can get their full game legs underneath them. I like, a good rivalry, and I think that maybe if we can really start building that up, it's better for the fans overall. Like, I think every single year, CU, CSU, UNC, throw Wyoming in there. I think they should all be playing each other. Throw Air Force in there, because I think those kind of things are great for fan bases, getting at each other, and that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely, especially as, I think all of them that you mentioned there are on the upward trajectory. So continue that, and they can, feed into each other, feed the fan energy into it, and, hopefully it's looking, more and more likely that hopefully next year we'll be able to have a little bit more normal season with, people in the stadiums and such. And it'd be really fun to have all those teams playing pretty well and playing each other and have, good crowds at those games. So, I know that's I'm speaking well into the future now, but certainly something to be excited about because, I really like kind of the setup of all those teams.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin, appreciate you, man, taking us through that. An interesting week for sure. Appreciate you on the last second jumping on the program. Always love having you on the show.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you.
All right, man. That's Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. This whole thing, Colfax, here we go again. Make it a business. Start paying these players. Then they could set up the union and really get to going there. If they want to not play, then they take a fine or whatever that is, and you go from there. We'll talk about that more. Broncos won. They beat the Panthers over the weekend. Let's get to that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Colfax, I can't believe we didn't get to this. Something we do every Monday on this program, but it's been so damn busy here on the show. We got to get to my good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made so very simple. Also want to remind you our Power to Play Sports poll question is up. We got a new poll question. Was it okay for Utah State players to boycott the game on Saturday? Yes or no? Some of you like don't like the question. Yeah, it's okay to boycott, but you know, you got to take a forfeit. No, was it okay for them? Because right now there's been no issue of a forfeit. It's just still open. They're probably going to give them that, but we'll see. All right, Colfax, the good, pretty simple. Drew Locke, 4 touchdown passes. Here we go.
12th play of the game. Play fake to Lindsey. Locke, end zone, wide open touchdown. It's Nick Vinette. Pressure's coming. Locke taking a deep shot. Wide open is Hamler, and it's a touchdown. KJ Hamler with his second NFL score. And on the next play, it's a touchdown from Locke to Tim Patrick. His 6th touchdown of the season. Locke looking deep for Hamler. He's got a step. He's got it. Touchdown, Denver. 2nd of the day for Hamler. And a new career high for Drew Locke.
Wow. And now we're all confused again about Drew Locke. Colfax, this was an A+. That was an A+. He had the fumble. He gets sacked. He fumbled it. And they take it to the house. I mean, come on. Garrett Bowles didn't play in that game. This offensive line keeps... Yeah. Did you ever think that I'd say this offensive line struggled because Garrett Bowles... Actually, they played pretty well. Played pretty well overall. And they've been doing that all year. Maybe the thing is for the Broncos offensive line, like, you change up the starting rotation like every 4 games. Because they've all played pretty well like this. It's work. Broncos get the W. They're 5-8. I'm going to just say it out loud, okay? I'm going to say it, then you can throw stuff. They're not eliminated from the playoffs. And a lot of teams lost that they needed to lose, Colfax. So it's a long shot, but there's a shot. There's a small shot. My bad, I don't have a clip because there was no game. CSU, Utah State. They opted out. They boycotted, whatever you want to call it. I have a hard time with it. I really do, guys. I'm sorry. I want everybody to be good to each other. I think most of us agree with that. Those that don't, you know, you have deeper issues. I just want to be careful here because, yes, I do think this sets us up. Am I outrunning the music? It's okay. This does set up a precedent. I believe it really does. Because you saw it with Oklahoma State football. You had 3, 4, 5 players say, hey, I'm not coming to practice. Mike Gundy's wearing a, what's that news network called? What is it called?
OAN.
OAN. He wore an OAN t-shirt. He's in a picture with like his kid fishing or something. And he wore an OAN t-shirt and it was posted on social media. Some players saw it, said, no way, we're not coming. That is unacceptable to me. So because you're a Republican, they get to choose not to go to practice and then Gundy has to issue an apology? And he did for wearing that shirt and not knowing exactly what it meant to some of these people? No. It's not right. Same as if you're a bunch of Republican players and your head coach wears a CNN shirt. No, it's not right. You still go to practice. You get up and you go because that's not what we're about, folks. That's not what people are supposed to be about. We're supposed to have differences. That's what makes us unique. That is different, though, and I get that because what was said in this Zoom meeting, I'm guessing, wasn't great. I don't know. We do not have that information with Utah State. But they cited concerns about his background and his religious background. So I'm not excusing that at all. Trust me, I'm not. I kind of want to know what was said before. You're pretty much like, this is silly. They shouldn't have boycotted the game.
Yeah, I think giving players that amount of power is absolutely ridiculous.
Is there something that could have been said in that meeting that would change your mind? Like, what if it got contentious and the president doubled down on it?
Then you have a bigger issue than boycotting a game against an opponent. I don't think that's how you fix the issue. That's not how you bring attention to it. Like you said earlier, I think you go play that game, you win that game. I mean, we don't want to see that here because it was against CSU, but
right.
That's not what you do.
It does seem different because, you know, it used to be, you know, we're backing up our coach. We're going to win this one for him. We're doing it for him. And that's a louder statement. And then after that, we're going to make some noise about it. You know, they canceled the game. You know, Kevin brought it up and said, hey, people aren't going to talk about it if they wouldn't have made this kind of statement. It's the Mountain West. It's the 2 worst teams in the conference. How long are we going to talk about this game? I'm not sure. But I do think that, you know, again, if it gets to the point where it's contentious and they're fighting over why that's wrong of this person to put this coach down because of their background, their religious background, their what have you, I'm just wondering what was said. I am not the boycott guy. I'm not the cancel guy. I'm not there. I think it opens up way too many avenues now. Let me read some of the comments here that we've received. Ken says, no, it wasn't okay. I understand the sensitivity of their situation, which I think we all do. However, aside from a health issue, this game should have been played with an alternate coach. Because it could have been played, there wasn't a COVID excuse to cancel it. It should go down in the books as a W for CSU and L for Utah State. I think we agree there. Scott says, your question's a bit weird. Yes, it was absolutely okay for them to boycott. What isn't okay is that it wasn't a forfeit yet. I don't think it's really weird. Was it okay for them to boycott the game? I'd ask the same question in June when all the professional athletes did the same thing. Was that okay for them to do that? Andy says, well, if I don't show up to work, I don't get paid, so it should stand as a forfeit. I don't get to quit when I'm unhappy with something. And I mean, it's kind of the truth, right? First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 478-1301. Lieutenant Spangle, love when I get my lunch break during the whole show. Let's get some sports on. Big one tonight, man. Big one tonight. Statement game for the University of Northern Colorado. I mean, this kind of goes without saying, man, but you find a way to win this game, that's one of the biggest basketball wins in their history. Brady, what about when they won the Big Sky Conference title to go to March Madness? Didn't happen. Shh. The NCAA disappeared it. They're like the mafia. Never happened. Well, no, we watched it. Didn't happen. UNC cheated. Done. Dunzo. So this could be the biggest game. Seriously. CU Buffs went to battle against a really good Tennessee team last week. They started terribly. They were awful out the gates. Came all the way back and made it a game. And so that just goes to show you, I think CU is a really good basketball team. They are going to... I have so much respect for CU. I have so much respect for Tad Boyle. That program is legit. But I love what Steve Smiley said. Hey, we're not going down there as a little brother. We're not going down there to see this as a measuring stick. Although fans, you know, we can kind of say that. Because if they lose by 5, 6, then you're going to say, well, that sucks for UNC, but damn. Because CU is a March Madness team. For sure. They'll get there. Regardless of what happens in the Pac-12, they're better than last year. This is a better team than last year. I mean, Tad Boyle even said that. He even said as much last year. The next year, we expect to be good this year, but man, look out next year. McKinley Wright. So remember our poll question, who's the best basketball player in the state? McKinley Wright won that thing, hands down. Well, here you go, Bodie. Bodie has an opportunity, not of a lifetime, because I think that kid's going to have a lot of opportunities, but this is a hell of a matchup, man. And UNC's good. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is up now. Was it okay for Utah State players to boycott the CSU game over the weekend? I guess I just feel like for the public and for everybody else, more information makes it easier to have these conversations and to swallow that. And we don't know what was said in that Zoom conference thing, whatever. So Kevin would know more than me, so I'm going to give it to him on that. He said it is kind of common practice to have conversations in a Zoom meeting kind of deal about the future of where your coaching staff's going to go. But maybe you have your quarterback that's going to be there for like 2 or 3 years. You know, maybe you have 2 or 3 guys that you know are going to be stuck. I guess I can get on that side of thinking, but it's weird to me that you would have this. You know, your entire team is logged into the Zoom thing, or at least a good portion of it. It's very interesting. All right, 38 minutes after the hour. Let's recap. Let's get our closing thoughts on Broncos-Panthers. Broncos get the W. We'll get to that. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out the Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
Okay, Colfax, what do you know, my friend? Because, I know, I hate to throw you on the spot like this. You said something about the arguably the best quarterback in the game in the NFL. You said something that maybe the Broncos made him feel a little bit S-word last week.
Oh, a little scared.
A little scared.
Yeah.
A little scared.
Mr. Mahomes, Showtime.
A little Showtime.
Mahomes.
A little scared, yeah.
Well, three interceptions?
Two touchdowns to three interceptions. He was sacked three times. He was 24-34. His QBR was 66.
Ouch.
Is he a little scared?
Is Mahomes a little shook?
Is Mahomes a little scared, Colfax?
Ooh, I don't know, man. Seems like it.
Oh my god. I was thinking about that. Now, Kansas City wins. They win 33-27. But their defense was, you know, they came up with some big plays, and they ran the ball pretty well. And obviously, give the ball to Travis Kelce anywhere, anytime, and he's going to do something with it. Is he a little spooked? Did the Broncos spook him a little bit?
I'm going to go with a yeah.
And he carried this over to this Miami game. Are the Chiefs the best team in the NFL right now? Or is it the Buffalo Bills? Bills just beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's lost two in a row now. Boy, we're in an interesting time in our lives, Colfax. The Chiefs will not put people away. In fact, they were down early in this game. They came back. They do what they do. And then they started to blow past Miami. Miami comes right back, though. Kansas City's not used to that. They're down, and then they come back, and the rest is history, right? Miami outscored Kansas City 17-3 in the fourth. So, are you concerned, Chiefs fans, about, you know, where you go right now? I mean, listen, there's nobody, now that the Steelers have lost two in a row, it's not really like anybody's dominating. But the Chiefs certainly aren't either. I mean, I remember all those Patriots years. And again, they've had some seasons where they keep games close. But all those Patriots years when they were really rifling off those big seasons, they were blowing teams out. So is Mahomes getting, are we figuring this guy out a little bit? Or we'll be curious to see how he adjusts the rest of the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It almost seems like maybe Miami took some hints from Vic Fangio's defense.
Maybe.
Learning some tricks of the trade.
Maybe. I mean, the Chiefs, though, the thing you take away from that, as much as I hate to give any kind of compliment to the Chiefs, makes my stomach hurt, they found a way to win even with a three interception performance. So, I mean, that goes to show you where they are at this point. I'll recap the entire NFL because you do have a big Monday night game coming up. Ravens-Browns. Who would have thought that was going to be like one of the biggest games of the night? And you have a chance to win to go up in your playoff round in fantasy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Got Jarvis Landry and I think, what did I say, Kareem Hunt?
You got Kareem Hunt. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if the Browns take this to the bank... Look out.
I have Lamar Jackson. I'm up by like 20. I squeezed into the playoffs, so I should be fine. I should be fine for today, for this weekend.
I don't know, but Lamar kind of, you know.
Yeah. Is he scared too? That's going to be the Colfax. That's the thing we should start on the whole show, the Colfax scared-o-meter. Who's scared this week?
Maybe like a curse. Maybe like the Colfax curse or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Something.
So where's your stock right now, Drew Lock? You buying stock in Drew Lock? You still selling that stuff off? What are you doing? Are you buying some of that stock that you sold last week?
I might have to re-up a little bit. I kind of sold it all, and the price dropped, and now the price is going up.
It's gone up a little bit. So
catch the train while it's riding
should I
up.
You can get it for cheap. So yeah. So you jump in?
I don't know.
A little bit?
Yeah, I better. I was with him at the beginning of the season. Let's go.
It
finished out strong.
It took a lot for you to jump off that bad boy.
It did.
But this is Drew Lock right now. Is he learning? Is he truly learning? Again, it's the Panthers. So far, so good. I'm going to take what it is. You know, I said I needed to see a superstar performance. I needed to see an awesome performance, and I saw it. It wasn't necessarily perfect. I mean, KJ Hamler's one of his touchdowns, the defender falls down. But would he have caught it anyway? Maybe so. KJ's looking good, man. He's definitely a deep threat. But Zach told us at the start of the show, what would open us up, open up that Broncos offense, was the short game. It worked out. Pillow fight, Dan. Chiefs game wasn't close. 33-24, then Miami got a garbage time score. I mean, Miami was up at one point. You know, it was a one-score game with under 3 minutes left. Pittsburgh was always a soft 10-0 team. Chiefs are head and shoulders above every team in the NFL. Then why can't they put anybody away? I can't see them put anybody away. Are they as good as they were last year? I mean, yeah, it was. That Miami game was close. I watched that full thing. Miami outscored Kansas City 17-3 in the fourth quarter. How did that happen? Well, the Chiefs took their foot off the gas. When do you learn your lesson then? Because you keep doing it. Somebody's going to bite them, and they're not always going to play the Miami Dolphins. They're not always going to play a team like Miami that can't close it out. They're going to actually play good football teams in the playoffs. So, yeah, that's fine. If you think 17-3 is nothing to sneeze at in the fourth quarter, you're outscored in the fourth quarter when it's supposed to be win time. You were outscored by that much? No. Kansas City has issues. They do. I'm telling you. It's going to take a while, but you guys will see it. They'll beat the Patriots by 5. They'll beat the Raiders by, who do they play next? Look at the wrong schedule. They'll win the next 3 games. I'm sure of it. But the playoffs are going to be a different beast this year. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Closing thoughts coming up next.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
I mean, Colfax, everything needs to go right for Denver to get in. I mean, okay, Pillow Fight Dan, you're saying the Dolphins are a playoff team. Okay, as of right now, thankfully they added that 7th team, so they're in it right now. But do you really think Miami holds on to that? We'll see. I mean, they do have the Patriots. I could see Miami winning that game. But then I could also see Cam Newton throwing for 70 yards and somehow the Patriots score 50. They play the Raiders and they play the Bills. So that's what Miami has left on their schedule. Baltimore needs to win tonight. Baltimore's on the outside looking in. So they see Miami lose. They definitely need to win. Colfax is, Houston was officially eliminated from the playoffs. The Broncos are the only team right now of those bad teams that is not officially eliminated. Of those, I guess the Patriots are under a game under 500 as well. Denver's 5-8. So they need Miami to lose out. They need Baltimore to lose out. I guess they could lose 3 or 4 and then you go tiebreaker. They need the Raiders to lose 2 or 3, including the game the Broncos play them, and they need the Patriots to lose at least 1. And that's assuming the Broncos win the next 3 games, which includes the Buffalo Bills. So Miami, Broncos country, you're rooting against Miami. You're rooting for Baltimore to lose tonight. You're rooting against the Raiders, which you already are. You're rooting against the Patriots, which you already are. And then the Broncos need to win out. Pretty simple, Colfax.
I'm in.
Four teams basically need to lose most of their games, if not all of them. And Denver needs to win all of them, including against a Buffalo Bills team that's 10-3. And they have won some big-time games. I'm not saying the Chiefs aren't ridiculously good right now. Just saying. They're not putting teams out like we're used to last year. They're making comebacks, and then they slow down. That's what they did against Miami. Miami was down 30-10 after the third. Miami came all the way back and made it somewhat interesting. Well, they took their foot off the gas pedal. When do you stop doing that? When it's too late? A lot more Broncos talk, Nuggets talk, college talk. UNC, see you tonight on 1310 KFKA. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30. Tip-off at 7. Jason Alvin will have the call. Good night, Northern Colorado.